Well, good morning, His Tabernacle. How are we doing? Good. Hello. Welcome. Happy Sunday. It's my favorite day of the week. Thank you so much for being here. We want to welcome all of our guests and visitors today and say hello to everyone watching on live stream. Even though you're not here in person, you're still a part of our family and we love you. I want to invite any of our guests today to please check out the Connect Room. It's going to be right across the hall. There's always fresh snacks, fresh coffee. You get to meet our pastors and staff, and we would love to connect with you today. I want to let everyone know that we are going to be having our first ever security conference the first week of June. So if you're interested in learning about how to mitigate violence in our community and our businesses, it'd be great for you to check out. You can visit the welcome desk to register for that. And secondly, Easter's coming. Easter's very soon. We really lost a lot this last year, and we weren't able to celebrate the way that we love to. But this year, we are celebrating Easter. We are going to have our great egg hunt on Saturday, April 3rd. There will be bounce houses, candy, prizes. You can always volunteer. We'd love for you to participate. And we're still looking for candy, so please bring that in. And then Easter Sunday, we are going to be having three services. So if you'd like to invite your friends, your family to come out and see the production that we're doing, we will have a 7:30 a.m. service, a 9 a.m. and our 11. And we'd love to have you out for Easter. If you would please stand and join me in welcoming our senior pastors.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. What a great day. I've had two people already tell me that my shirt is stained. It is not stained. It is actually a logo.
Pattern.
It's a pattern. Just had to say that.
I was the first one to tell him when he walked out this morning. I'm like, you have spots all over you. Oh, it's the way it's supposed to be.
Yes. Right there. I just want to give testimony this morning. We've had such a phenomenal week in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
On
Amen.
Wednesday night, we relaunched our His Kids and Matthew 25 ministry, busting in young men and young women.
Thank you, Jesus.
Our very first week back, 47 children.
Amen.
Four of them gave their hearts to Jesus. Come on now, give God praise.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
On Thursday night, four women, was it?
Three
women rededicated their hearts to Jesus in
Amen.
Women's ministry.
Hallelujah.
And in youth ministry, nine young people were baptized in the Holy Ghost in another tongue.
Hallelujah. And then Uproar one night.
Many of you don't know, but Uproar we have, it's a major conference we have every year for our teenagers. And what they do is they go out now, they're going out one-nighters. And so they were just in Pittsburgh on Friday night and 12 people gave their hearts to Jesus. And six young people were baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Just today, in first service, before the
baptism,
one young man gave his heart to Jesus.
I think there were two.
Two? And then also, today we're baptizing 29 people.
Yes.
Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
I'm just so excited. God's doing great things.
Yes.
And the kingdom of God is not going to be held down by any sickness, any disease,
Amen.
Any government. It's all about Jesus bringing, getting glory.
Amen.
And that's what we're doing for Him.
Amen.
Rhonda Jean, why don't you welcome everybody?
Okay. Welcome. Actually, if you're a guest in the house today, we are so thankful that you've joined us. Or if it's been a while, I just saw a face and waved. So happy to see you here today. We have a connection room. We would love to invite you after the service. It's in this hallway. There's signage, so you'll know where to go. We want to connect with you. You'll get to meet some of the pastors, and we have snacks, which are always good. So make sure you come to the connection room. We would love to get to know you, and thank you so much for joining us today. Today is water baptism.
Yay!
Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited. It's such a powerful, powerful time where lives are literally, it is a supernatural thing that's happening. I'm so excited for you all. We had 23 baptized in first service. So
and 10
and 10 in this service. So, wow, we surpassed our original numbers. That's awesome. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We love your presence. God, it's in your presence where we can just soak up the air.
Yes.
We can just say, this is peace right here. Jesus, it's in your presence where everything is changed. Everything is changed, Lord. You bring healing and restoration and peace and joy and love. God, you bring deliverance from bondages and addictions. You set us free, Lord, and free indeed. God, we just love your presence. We love the corporate anointing where two are gathered, two or three, there you are in the midst.
Yes.
And if one will put 1,000 to flight and two will put 10,000, then God, we're putting some stuff to flight this morning in your presence, Lord. We put it to flight. We thank you for it, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. I do want to welcome all of the guests that are here for the water baptism. Thank you so much for honoring your family. And we encourage you, come three times. I know the first time might be unique to you, but we encourage all guests to come three times. We know that on the third time, you'll say, yep, that's either the house for me or not. And we honor you. We love you. Get ready. We're going to get ready to baptize. Let's worship together.
Amen.
Chains are loose when I call your name.
Something happens
when I chains are loose.
The chains are loose when I call your name.
The chains are loose.
Chains are loose when I call your name.
Chains are loose when I call your name. Something happens
when I call your name.
And we break through. Something happens when I call your name.
comes the glory of the Lord. Here comes the glory of the Lord, sweeping in through. Oh, here comes the glory of the Lord. Get ready, here comes the glory of the Lord, sweeping in. Comes the glory of the Lord. Here comes the glory. Here comes the glory of the Lord. Sweeping in the room. Yeah, yeah. Here comes the glory. The glory. Don't
Show us your glory and wonder and
The glory of the Lord sweeping in the room. He's in the room today. Here comes the glory of the Lord. Here comes the glory.
Here comes
the glory of
sweeping in the room.
on, but God is restoring that bone and God is restoring that portion of your body. The pain will be gone. There's another person on your left foot, back where the Achilles tendon comes down on the left outer portion. You have constant pain and God is healing and restoring you. You see, because you asked, he said, I'm going to give it to you. There's also another individual. You have polyps in your sinus cavity and the doctors are concerned, and we want you to know, I'm talking, God wants you to know that he's healing you. He's taking those polyps out in Jesus' name. Another individual on your left-hand side, about 3 inches high, 3 inches over from your bottom, is a spot constantly. It's almost like you were bruised there, and it's not a bruise, and it concerns you, and you keep putting off going to the doctor. Well, this morning, because you asked Jesus, he's taking that pain away, and he's taking the cause away in Jesus' name. Jesus, we just love the fact that you care for us. Your bride is coming home, and you're cleaning us up, and you're making us whole people. We know, Jesus, in these last days that you have a great job for us to do. As we bring in the largest harvest this world has ever seen in the quickest amount of time. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are raising up your remnant people, your body of Christ. And you're making them whole, not just salvation, making them whole in their soul and making them whole in their bodies, that there'll be no constraint or restraint in running the race to win. So God, I thank you that you are good to us. Thank you that you care for us, Father. That it's not just about us going to heaven, but it's about knowing you and fulfilling why you have us here. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, I love the presence of the Lord, don't you? God is good. You may be seated. Hallelujah. My. I sense the presence of Jesus. How about you? Thank you, Jesus. God, we honor you this morning. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I think we need to come out and sing that just one more time. Why don't we, you don't have to stand if you don't want to stand. It's not about your posture of your physical body. It's the posture of your spirit. And if you're uncomfortable singing, that's okay too. I mean, I don't sing well. I know that. But this is about you and I pleasing Jesus. Amen.
Here comes the glory of the Lord.
Y'all know what the glory is, right? The glory is the tangible presence of God himself.
Here comes the glory of the Lord.
That means you can be healed in your seat, delivered in your seat. You can have supernatural answers in your seat. When the glory comes, everything you need is available for you.
Here comes the glory of the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Here comes the glory of the Lord, sweeping in the room.
Jesus, let your presence be felt.
Here comes the glory of the Lord. Here comes the glory of the Lord, sweeping in.
The glory of the Lord.
We receive the glory.
Yes, Jesus.
Here comes the glory. Sweeping in the room. Oh. Here comes the glory.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Be glorified.
Here comes the glory.
Comes the glory of the Lord.
Sweeping in the room.
Sweeping in this room.
Oh, here comes the glory.
It's your church. You're not going to stand outdoor of this house. We need your glory to fill this house. We need your presence to become so real and so tangible that not one could walk out of this room without saying, I have been in the presence of Almighty God. Oh, there he is, right there, right there. We pay attention to you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because you're the most important person here.
Yes.
We honor you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes. We thank you for your presence. It's powerful. I don't know what you need this morning, but you need to start asking him when he's in this place like that. You need to start asking him. Just start asking him right now. We're gonna have him, the worship team, sing that quietly. And as they do, whatever you need to start asking right now. You need to start asking right now.
Here comes the glory of the Lord.
Here comes the glory of the Lord.
Come on, start talking to Jesus now.
Sweeping in the room.
In the room.
His glory is here.
Here comes the glory of the Lord.
What do you need? What do you want? What do you want God to do in your life today?
Here comes the glory of the Lord,
sweeping
in the room.
The sweet, sweet glory.
Here comes the glory of the Lord. Here comes the glory of the Lord.
Here comes the glory of the Lord.
Here comes the glory of the Jesus. Lord, sweeping in the room,
sweeping in the room.
Here comes the glory of the Lord,
the glory.
Jesus. Here comes the glory of the Lord.
God, you know our hunger and our desire is increasing. As the world is going into greater turmoil, as the world is spinning out of control, as sometimes our lives are touched by it, we know this, that you are our consistency, that you are our foundation. God, we can't make it without your presence. In fact, we choose not to make it without your presence. God, we want to say, even as the man of God said, even as Moses declared, we're not going anywhere without you. We need your presence before us. We need your presence behind us. And we need to be submerged in your glory. So God, our hearts are clear. We want you. And we need you. And we ask for it. You said if we ask, we shall receive. God, we're not asking right now for anything but one thing, more of you. Give us more of you, Jesus. We need more of you, Jesus. Oh, God. Some people are wondering why we're not moving forward. It's very simple. And that is that in his presence is fullness of joy. There are people in the room today that are struggling and chaos is powerful. And this quiet portion is God just bringing you peace in your heart, peace in your mind.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's that calming of the storm. Others, he's healing your bodies while you're just sitting there in his presence.
Thank you, Jesus.
Do you remember the time when the house was full, Jesus was in the house? The Bible said there was no more room for anybody. But the presence of Jesus was there to heal.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just his presence.
sense that this is a marked moment for many of you in the room today. A marked shift and change forward in that silence that was happening, not done by any man, but by the hand of God inside of you. A marked moment. You're going to see things differently. You're going to see things changed. You're going to see a different anointing, a different boldness on you. This is a marked moment.
I have a problem, and that is I have more than enough sermon to go forward, but I just don't feel it right yet. Is that all right? You don't mind? It's really easy to do church.
Yeah.
I can do church. I've been doing it for 30 years. But it's another thing to do God. And right now, I don't know what he's doing, but he's doing. And for those who don't feel nothing happening, then you just ask. God will touch you. I don't know where you're at. Some of you just need peace. But I want you to know that he loves you. I'm very excited today. As we've been talking about changing forward, turn to someone and say, change forward. You know what's interesting to me is the more you talk to people, the more you realize that everybody really does want to change. Now, we say that, but we really don't mean that in a sense. We want the change, but we don't want to change. And it's important that we recognize today that without changing forward, without us changing, we can't go to new plateaus in Christ. Remember, Jesus is the chief shepherd. The job of the shepherd is not only to protect the sheep, but to make sure that they're fed properly. And what a shepherd will do is he'll take his sheep to a field and they'll literally sit there and eat and enjoy and mounge and sleep and relax, and there's peace as they're protected. But sheep are amazing creatures because they literally eat the grass down to the nubs. What do we mean by nubs is literally there's not even another piece that could be drawn out of the ground. And when that's done, the job of the shepherd is to take them to new pastures, to a new place, place where they have never been before. A place where the grass is swaying and beautiful and it's fresh and luscious. But it's amazing how many people, we are the sheep of God, that whenever Jesus wants to move us on and move us to a new place, that many of us still want to remain complaining about the nubs. God wants to take us, but he can't take us unless we're willing to go. And I want to challenge you even today, as we're talking about changing forward, that you cannot change forward without a willing heart to say, God, I trust that everything you have for me is not bad, but good. You see, many people don't move forward because they literally don't believe that God has something good for them. Now, we wouldn't say that out loud. We know God is good. But we hang on so desperately to our past and our past experiences and even our past relationship with the Lord. And we forget that God wants to graduate us into a new place and a new plane that is greater than where you came from. Your eye has not seen, your ear has not heard, your mind cannot even conceive the great things that God has in store for those who love him. But God can't take you to that place unless you're willing to leave the nubs. And that's change. And that's challenging. Because that means we might lose comfort for a little bit. How many here like to be comfortable? Everybody else is a liar going to hell in a handbasket. Everybody wants to feel comfortable. Nobody wants anybody telling them that they have to do something differently. Well, I've done it this way for 475 years and it's not going to change now. Well, then you're not going to get anything different in your life. And God wants to challenge you. How many of you know that you can serve the Lord but not stay serving the Lord? It's choice. And today I have such an enormous pleasure in introducing Morgan Filippetti. I'm going to ask her to come and share her testimony with you as we're talking about changing forward. I love you, baby. I'm right here.
Good morning, everyone. I am Morgan Filippetti, and I've been going to His Tab on and off for over 15 years. As a teen, I was highly involved doing drama, youth worship, dance, and I even remember doing 5 a.m. prayer on Tuesdays before high school. I've battled badly with severe depression, anxiety, and self-harm from an early age, but was constantly reminded of the plan that God has for my life by my mom, the Spencers, and the church family. But once I turned 18, I turned from God and ran, which I did a lot of. I went to Rochester after a college guy that was also from the area. Little did I know that this would be the beginning of a toxic and abusive 13-year relationship with him, drugs, and alcohol. I remember it just started with smoking weed and drinking beer and wine, and it felt harmless, but all along I knew it was wrong. It wasn't long before I was drinking hard liquor and experimenting with harder drugs. What I didn't know is that doing these things with someone I had such a close relationship to meant that our soul tie and bondage to each other grew stronger. I can't remember exactly when it got really bad, probably just a few years in, and I found myself drinking every day. The drugs never really did it for me the way alcohol did. With alcohol, I felt invincible. I felt less of the pain I was burying away. Together, my ex and I enabled each other's drinking and began doing it all the time. See, once you start drinking all day, you can't really stop or you start to feel sick. So before I knew it, I was waking up, drinking to kill the hangover, drinking all day, no matter if I had work or school, and then would drink at night until I passed out. Together, my ex and I would drink a handle of vodka a day, sometimes more depending on how broke we were. Things hit an all-time low when I lived in Columbus, Ohio, and was being hospitalized once a month for pancreatitis and severe alcohol withdrawals. You can only go blacking out for so long before your body gives up, and you get sick, really, really sick. Alcohol withdrawals are the worst. The one of the only withdrawals you can actually die from. I would be throwing up, shaking beyond belief, seeing and hearing things that weren't there, unable to sleep, unable to breathe. I would literally lay there and pray to God that I wouldn't die that day because everything hurt so unbelievably bad. That's when I found out about the pancreatitis, which is god-awful. You're in so much pain that they drug you up with morphine and Ativan, and you can't eat or drink anything, so you just lay in a hospital bed on seizure watch for about a week. I did this about 7 times. Uh-huh. I began spending so much time at the hospital that I had to drop out of culinary school. It wasn't soon before my boyfriend stopped visiting me or refused to even take me to the hospital. Finally, he texted me while I was in the hospital one day, telling me that I needed to go home to my mom's and he couldn't do it anymore. Once I got back to my mom's, I continued to drink but would hide how much, was even more depressed than usual and was becoming increasingly suicidal. I decided to get help and go to rehab and try to stop drinking for about 2 years. I was in the BSU probably 3 times, went to rehab twice, and never staying longer more than 2.5 months. My ex came back into the picture, and I agreed to get back with him after I talked him into a stint in rehab too. But once he got out, we were both drinking more than ever. It wasn't until I left work one day, I can't remember if it was because I was too hungover or too drunk, but I went home to him hysterical. I packed a bag and called an Uber to get brought to St. Joe's, where I knew I would detox, go to the BSU, and then be sent back to rehab. I will never forget laying there in the hospital bed detoxing. It was the worst I'd ever felt my entire life. As I laid there, I prayed and cried and prayed and cried. I remember thinking that I couldn't live this way anymore, that I was so sick and tired of how horribly sick I was, both physically and mentally, and I didn't want to live anymore. So I did another stint in the BSU and rehab again, and this time it felt completely different. I was praying to a God I knew was calling me back to him.
Yes.
I had only ran away from him so long that I had struggled to hear his voice. I was certain that this time around I was really done. The only mistake I made was going back to my boyfriend because he promised to quit with me. It lasted for a few weeks before I caught him chugging a bottle of vodka in the living room closet. I finally knew that I had to leave him for good, and I moved out a couple weeks later without touching a drop of alcohol.
Amen.
See, this isn't just a story of my victory over alcohol, but my victory over being in an abusive relationship
right.
for 13 years with someone that I was convinced I would be with forever. I wasn't just addicted to the alcohol, but to him too. Being sober has been the hardest and most rewarding thing I've ever done in my life.
Amen.
Sure, there are days where my depression sneaks in and says that slamming a bottle of vodka would make it all go away. But I'll always go back to that day in the hospital and how much pain I felt, how truly desperate I was. As AA says, easy does it and one day at a time.
Amen.
And that's how I got here. That's why I'm able to say that a week from today, I will be 1 year sober.
Amen.
I couldn't plead with you enough to cry out to God from wherever you are, whether it's drugs and alcohol, sickness, the middle of a divorce, or at your limit with depression and anxiety. You just have to want it bad enough. That's it. God is literally standing right there just waiting for you.
Amen.
But you have to make the choice to run to him, to literally abandon everything you know and run to him. I was given a death sentence by doctors each time I ended back up in the hospital. It only takes one more time for you to drink like this and not make it, they would say. And here I am today, the healthiest I've ever been. My mental health is finally being managed properly, and I couldn't be more proud of myself than I am. And I'm happy. I thought being sober would be miserable, and it's proven to be quite the opposite. So I'm so glad to be alive today and to be able to tell you that my healer, my comforter, and my redeemer lives.
Amen. My girl. Change forward. It's a powerful thing to recognize that if Morgan didn't make the choice, she would still be in the same position or maybe not here at all. You want to change. It's in you to change. It's in you to go to a new place. It's in you to increase. It's in you to have a greater capacity. God put that in each and every one of us. But in the process of growing forward, we have to make choices to say, I want to do and be where God wants me to be. And if God called me there, I know it's going to be gooder. That's my word. Then the last place. Our verse for the year is, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, and it says this, listen carefully, which means you cannot listen carefully. Listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing. God is about to do a new thing in your life. God is about to bring you to new pastures in your life. God is about to bless you in a new way in your life. God is about to use you in a new dimension in your life. I'm about to do a new thing, says the Lord. It will spring up fast. Will you not be aware of it? Which means some people aren't going to know it's coming. Some people aren't going to be paying attention. Some people aren't going to be changing forward and will literally miss God's best for their life. I don't know about you. I don't ever want to miss what God has for my life. Bible says that if we pay attention, I will even put a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I'm here to tell you very clearly that God wants to do miraculous things in your life, so stupendous, so gargantuan, that you and I are going to have to sit here and stammer because there's no way normal humanity and their brain that's finite can wrap around it in any capacity, but we'll sit back and shout, glory to God in the highest. Good work. God is awesome. So many of us have already done our New Year's resolutions and failed. Our fasting and prayer service was already done in January, and you made commitments to God and you haven't kept them. You've made pledges, you've made commitments. Oh, horrible statistic. From a company, they did it in their own company, they did a survey, and it said this. A while back, my company polled over 1,000 people who invested in personal development seminars, courses, set goals, and worked on these goals for 90 days. The data from these polls was pretty shocking because 96% of their personal development efforts completely failed. See, one thing that's so powerful about you and I being sons and daughters of God is that every change that comes is not one that we have to fulfill ourselves. You see, we are serving a living God. We are serving a caring God. We are serving a powerful God. And the God of heaven, if you're born again, dwells inside of you by the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And because of that, there is a power residing in you that what you and I can't accomplish through self-will can be accomplished through the power and the presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You see, you're not doing this alone. You're not changing alone. You're not growing alone. God is helping you. So many people, they have the good intention of changing, and yet it seems like chains. It's like right there is the new place. Right there is God's next level for you. Right there is God's blessing for you. But yet chains seem to hold you back. You know, those chains might be sin. They might be attitude. They might be bitterness, unforgiveness. There's so many different chains that are in people's lives. But we've got to make a choice that those chains are not greater and those chains are not better than what God's plans are, for he is going to bring the blessings of heaven to your life. If you call upon the name of the Lord, God has greatness for you, not just goodness. Amen. I'm not going to preach long at all. I'll be done here in 10 minutes, if that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ, shout, I belong to Jesus. Listen, that's the key. There are a lot of people who believe in God, but believing in God does not get you to heaven. The Bible says in the book of James, even the devils believe in God and tremble. It's not enough just to say, I believe in God, but the question is, do you belong to God? For it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives. I am a sacrifice under Christ. He is going to live his life through me. You see, when we recognize this, we can belong to Christ. When you belong to Christ, you're not surviving on your own mental capability, your physical capability, and your inner soulish capability. You're drawing from God himself who dwells in you because you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Ghost. And the Bible makes a declaration. If you belong to Christ, you have become a new person. It's very, very, very challenging. I'll just use that word again. As I watch people, they identify more with who they were than who God wants them to be. They trust more in their past and their past experiences and their past life and their past personality than they do in who God desires them to grow them into. You and I have to believe. We have to come to the conclusion. And I love what she said in her testimony. She said, I never thought I could be happy not drunk. So many have convinced ourselves that I don't know if I'll like who and what God wants to bring me to. But I'm here to tell you, every good and precious gift comes down from the Father of lights. You can trust God. He wants to make you a new man and a new woman, and who he develops and who he matures. Man, you're going to love it. You're going to live in it. I was talking to Ron Lerner last night. And Ron Lerner, he didn't get saved. How many years ago did your husband get saved? 2 years ago, gave his heart to Jesus. Very successful businessman. Ran an entire plant. Very well, very powerful man. Very brilliant man. And I said, Ron, how do you like who you are right now? He said, Pastor, and he has a challenge. He has a disease that's on his body that he is declaring miraculous healing for. Amen? But here, he said to me, Pastor, I couldn't be happier and I couldn't be more thankful than who and where I am right now. Amen. Man, I was just so excited. Why is that? Why would I be excited? Because listen, who he never thought 3 years ago he'd be saying that today. That's true. But who you are right now, man, I just want to encourage you. God's made you a new man and a new woman. Don't be settled with the old. Don't say what you had was better than what God has for you. It's going to be phenomenal. You are going to sit back in 2 years and shake your head and say, I never thought that my life could be so good. I never thought my life could be so blessed. I never thought that I could be so healed. I never thought that I could be so whole. I never thought that I could have this much joy. Even in the midst of the trial that you're in, listen, yes, you're in the middle of a trial, but God's Holy Spirit who dwells in you is going to get you through. You're going to come without smelling like smoke. And when you do, you're going to be a new man and a new woman. And man, you're going to sit back and go, thank God for who he's developed me to be. You see, not everybody wants to let go of their past. Not everybody wants to let go of their past to get God's great. How about Lot? Lot, who's Abraham's nephew. First of all, Abram was not told to bring Lot. I do want you to know that when you start bringing folks you're not supposed to bring in your life, it causes you issues. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Abram was told to leave your family and go to a land. And Abram left but he brought his nephew Lot. Man, all the way through Lot's experience, he was just a pain and a thorn in the flesh of Abram. He didn't have to have that pain if he just obeyed God. But he kept a piece of his past that tethered with him all the way through his future. Let that sit for just a second. Here Lot and him separated, and Lot went down to Sodom. And Sodom was a foul place, filled with immorality, filled with homosexuality. And God said, I'm going to destroy this place. I'm going to destroy it, and that's just the way it is. And Abram stood in the gap, and he talked to God, and he says, but Lot's down there. What if you find 50 righteous? And God said, I won't do it if I find 50 righteous. Well, there weren't 50 righteous in there. And it brought it all the way down to Lot's family. And God said, I will send deliverance to Lot's family because Abram prayed. So down go two angels, man. They're down there. They go into the city, and they go into Lot's house. And all of a sudden, there's pounding on the door. And the pounding on the door were the men of the city saying, send those two men out. We want to have sex with them. We want to rape them. We want to take advantage of them. And Lot said, no, you can't have them. And what a nice guy, offered his two daughters. Yeah, you probably didn't read that part. All of a sudden, it was time for Deliverance Day. And God said, don't look back. And that day, something happened. As God is getting ready to pour out brimstone from heaven to destroy the evil city called Sodom and Gomorrah, and God is getting ready to take vengeance on sin, I want you to know the wages of sin is death. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care right now. Thank God for the period of grace that we live in. But whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And all of a sudden, Lot and his family start taking off. And Lot, God said, don't look back. They start taking off, and they're running to freedom. They're running to blessing. They're running to deliverance. They're running to God's blessing. And all of a sudden, Lot's wife turns around and takes a gaze. You know what's sad is that you don't have control over your family. Where they start looking is their choice. And many people have watched and sadly watched our families abandon God's kingdom because they still won't let go of their past. But you don't have to be that person. You can't make a decision for anybody else, but you can make a decision for yourself. You can say, listen now, I'm going to be like Lot. I'm going to run from that sin. I'm going to run from that attitude. I'm going to run from that bitterness. I'm going to run from that grudge. I'm going to run from this problem. I'm going to run, and I'm going to run to Jesus, and I'm going to give him all that I got because I trust him. I know that if God said it's good, it's going to be good, and it's going to be gooder. But you have to believe yourself that God only has great things for you. And if you don't believe that, then you're always gun shy in receiving what God has. God, whenever he says change, is not something that's horrid. It's something that's blessed. You know, and sadly enough, a lot of us, God has tried to take that old out of us. He's tried to bring changes into our lives, but we've refused. We've become stubborn to let go of some of the changes that God wants to do in our lives. And sadly enough, it always comes back to bite. How about Moses? Here's Moses brought up in Pharaoh's household. And all of a sudden, he sees one of the other men trying to bring down and trying to hurt a Jew. And so he goes down and he kills the other soldier. Buries him. The next day, he goes and he's trying to break up a squabble between two other Jewish guys. And all of a sudden, they look and say, oh, what are you going to do, kill us like you killed him? So he gets scared and he runs away. He runs away to the desert. As he's there, all of a sudden, he has an experience with God. He has the burning bush experience, and God calls him. And you would think that the moment God called him, baby, come on now, it's time to bug out. He was 40 years old when he got the call. But God didn't tell him to go right down and bring deliverance to the Jews. He said, now, why don't you go and hang out in the desert place and raise some sheep for me? You see, the quiet place is a place where God starts taking those things out that could destroy us in our future. And many of us don't want to let go of the things that God has called us to change because we like them so much. But I'm here to tell you, if you like them so much, they're going to come and bite you. Because, listen, what was the problem of Moses? Problem with Moses, he had anger issues. Now he's called out and 80 years old, and he brings deliverance to the children of Israel. They've crossed the Red Sea. Come on now, that's a great miracle, isn't it? First of all, the 10 plagues, and then the deliverance, and then bitter water turns sweet, and then so many grouses that's coming out their nose, and their clothes don't wear off. And God said, speak to the rock, and I'll water the people and the flock. But he got mad at the people, anger. And he struck the rock. And God said, because you struck the rock, you cannot have the promised land. I want you to know something. When God starts dealing with these changes in your life, he's not trying to take them out to cause you pain. He's trying to keep them out so you don't have any more pain, not just then, but in the future. But God can't do that unless you surrender them. You see, Moses refused to surrender his anger issues. And later on, it cost him the promised land. I don't want nothing to cost me. Oh, God, I'm nothing in myself. I thank God that you are everything. I thank God that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I thank God that you love me with an everlasting love. I thank God that you see my future. Whatever is in my life that needs to come out, Jesus, take it out. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You know, there's a verse in Romans 7. I've heard Christians use it a lot for an excuse. Let me read it to you. Romans chapter 7, 21 through 25. So I find it to be the law of my inner self that evil is present in me, the one who wants, let me read it over here. It's, when you read the Amplified, you read their little inserts, and it confuses me. So I find it to be the law of my inner self that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully delight in the law of God in my inner self with my new nature. But I see a different law and rule of action in the members of my body, in its appetites and desires, waging war against the law of my mind and subduing me and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is within my members. Wretched and miserable man that I am, who will rescue me and set me free from this body of death, this corrupt and mortal existence? I've heard Christians use that verse all the time. See, I can't have victory because that's just waging war in me. I can't seem to have victory. But God wants you to know you got to finish the verse. Verse 25 says it all. It said, who can deliver me from this body of sin? Thanks be to God for my deliverance through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to know that today you have Christ living in you by the Holy Ghost, that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It doesn't matter how bad it is. It doesn't matter how hard the change. With Christ as your sight pattern, you can always hit the target. It's time to recognize that you're not doing this on your own, but God by His Spirit dwelling in you is releasing the anointing to destroy every yoke of bondage, to bring the promise of the Lord that he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Some of you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Speaking in other tongues, you need more power. The church doesn't like to talk about it because it's talking in tongues. That stuff's weird. What do you mean weird? I guess you're not really cultured. Listening to my daughter-in-law talk, what's the name of it? The click song. No, what's it called? Closer? There's a language that my daughter-in-law knows. She grew up in South Africa called Closer. And there's click words all the way through. So you're asking, it's clicking. And you sit back and you go, how in the world? Not only can you do that, but that just sounds plumb weird. You've never heard languages from other nations. And it's amazing to me how people think speaking in other tongues is a strange thing. It's not a strange thing. The Bible says, though I speak with the tongues of angels and of men, there's tongues that God will use you in that are natural language and tongues that God will use you with, which is angelic words and God's speech. And it's time for you and I to say, if God has offered it, I cannot imagine that it will be bad. For God doesn't give any bad gifts, only good gifts. So if God is saying be filled with the Holy Ghost and with power, you should be saying, I want that gift. And then there's some practical things. Come on now. Stop watching what you're watching. I had a young man. He was 16 years old, had a serious problem with pornography. And he came to me and he said, Pastor, I want deliverance. I prayed for him. I encouraged him and strengthened him, spoken life into him. And he said to me, well, I'm still struggling with it. And I said, where do you watch it? Well, he goes, well, I go to my room and it's on my, I watch it on my computer. And he says, it's amazing. I start watching 1 minute and all of a sudden I'm in 5 hours. And I said, well, you gotta get rid of your computer. The Bible says, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. No, he's not talking like you should go cut your hand off, take your eyeballs out. What he's saying is get rid of where the temptation is coming from. And I looked at the young man and I said, listen, God wants, he has great things for you, but this is going to hold you back. And he said to me, well, Pastor, I can't do it. I said, get rid of your computer. And he said, I can't do that. You see, you got to want something so bad, like Morgan. Every time she gets tempted with alcohol again, she remembers how bad that pain was that last time she was in the hospital bed. And she had to make a decision, not only to get rid of the booze, but to get rid of the boy. We have to make decisions in our lives. We have to choose that what we watch is going to build us and strengthen us, not destroy us and bring us back into the change that's going to keep us from God's changing forward and God's greatness in our lives. Some of you got to stop hanging who you're hanging with. Jesus. Some of you got people in your life that you should not have in your life. Well, Pastor, they're my friends. Well, let me tell you how to tell whether they're your good friends or bad friends. Number one, if they're influencing you to go backwards when you're around them, then you're not helping them. Those old friends, the only time you hang with them is if you're influencing them, they're not influencing you. If you're going back to the old sin, the old struggle, rather than remaining in the victory that God has given you by the Holy Spirit, and the only reason you keep going back is because you keep hanging back with these folk, it's time to break them. Somebody got relatives you need to be careful of. So you box your time with them. You don't abandon them, you box your time with them. But there are people that you got to get rid of in your life. Listen, I would never ask Morgan to go back and become a bartender. Why not? Because it put her back in that same environment. Never return to the same environment. All two people saying amen. Stop going to the places you're going. Some of you are going to places you know you shouldn't be going. Come on now. Well, I like the food. But you know when you go eat that food, you're going to be tempted with what you used to deal with. Say amen. Amen. You know that joint that's sitting in your glove box, you swore off pot, but you got it there just in case. You should see the faces. We've got to make choices if we're going to change forward, and that change forward is not accidental. I want what God has for me. That means I've got to literally look and listen to the Holy Spirit. God, what do you want to change in my life in 2021? God, I know where I came from, but I know where you want to bring me. God, I know you've got great things for me, but God, what do you need to change and shift in my life in this year to get me there? Lord, whatever it is, I lay myself on the altar of God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. And I say, God, I trust you. I trust you that whatever I am, wherever I'm going, that in your hands, that will always bring me to the pinnacle place, and I will always bring glory to your name. We've got to make a choice if we're going to change. And if you don't, you'll just be the same person. You'll be like Moses. Moses. Who, after great victories, sold it all out because he was unwilling to change one thing in his life. Can you imagine that? He did the most magnificent things for God. He literally delivered the children of Israel after 400 years of bondage. They crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. Miracle after miracle. He was up on a mountain when God gave him the Ten Commandments. Yep, he chose not to change something that God put his finger on. And in the end, it cost him. I don't know. I'm definitely not a perfect man. My wife says I'm perfect. It's that stuff I give her in the morning. We all got stuff. We all got stuff we need God to change in our lives. You know, there's churches you can go to that you can go and it's a 15-minute little kumbaya message. Everything's beautiful. Everything is beautiful in its own way. You go to a church and the pastor will just show you these nice little portions of the scriptures. And I believe in those portions of the scriptures and they're extremely important. But when you're never challenged to change, you never go to the next place, the next plateau, the next feeding zone, the next place of maturation and maturity in your walk with Jesus. And I'm challenging you this year. This whole year is going to be very uncomfortable for all of us. There is something in our lives, every one of us, something in our lives that God has put his finger on. And he said, this needs to change in your life. I want to bring this transformation in your life, but I can't do it without your permission. God will not change you without you giving him permission. And we have to make a decision. Is that thing so good that it's I'm willing to give up God's great? That's each person's choice. Moses couldn't make it for Lot. Lot couldn't make it for his wife. Every one of us choose. Do we want God's best or do we just want to get to glory? I don't know about you. I hate regret. Amen. Anybody here ever have regret before? Oh, yeah. If you're alive, you've been alive more than 15 years, you've had at least one regret. My question that I posed myself is, Spencer, do you want to lay on your deathbed if Christ does not blow that trumpet sound and say, man, if I had only. I don't want regret. And the only way not to live regret is to live God. And if you live God, you don't have to live regret. But that means he goes like this, push, puts his finger and he says, change. But I don't want to change. Change. But I don't like that. Change. But God, that hurts. Change. And when we change, man, everything opens up to a whole new sight pattern. Amen. Life changes for good. For God is good all the time and never bad. Amen. Bow your heads with me this morning. Praise the Lord. I'm just so excited. We've had such an amazing day already. Today already. You know, I said we had two saved in first service, and we did. And we had another person saved in the second service. So I thank God just before the water baptism. We've had three people saved already this morning in this room. And we baptized, I thought it was 30. It was 33 people today in Jesus' name. I'm excited what God is doing. Baby, you need to get ready because this is not going to happen slow. It's going to happen quick, what God's going to do. You don't want to be caught sitting back and staring. You want to be caught running with the whole things of God. Amen? I'm running this race to win. I'm not trotting. Amen. I'm running. I'm not sitting. I'm running. That means we've got to be ready to run. That means we've got to have God bring change in our life. Can I ask you a question? No matter how young or how old, I should say mature you are in the church or in the kingdom, what is God asking you to change this year? Come on, bow your head for just a second. This way you're not looking around at anybody else, not distracted. What is God asking you to change? Listen, I know you can tell your spouse what they need to change. What do you need to change? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you this year? Change this. He'll never give you more than you can handle. But if you never handle, you'll never change. What is that thing? And then I want you to pray right out loud with me. Jesus, thank you for revealing that to my heart. I thank you that I don't have to do it alone. I thank you that grace not only saved me, but grace is maturing me. Thank you for the power to change. not just in my flesh, but in my spirit man, that I'll run this race to win, that I'll have no regret, that I won't miss the river, that I won't miss the road in the desert. Oh God, I thank you that you are always with me, empowering me to be more like you. I surrender my life. I surrender my sin. I surrender my attitude. I surrender my grudge. I surrender my unforgiveness. I surrender my addictions. And I declare, God, that my life is yours. In Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you know there's a sin between you and God that would keep you from heaven, and today you want to get right, whether you're watching online or right now in the room, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand up. I know it's going to take some boldness, but I want you to slide your hand up right now and say, God, I want to get right with you. Is there anyone in the room? Thank you, young lady. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Put your hand right back down. Is there anyone else this morning? I'm not going to wait long. Thank you, sir. Yo, the young lady, very good. Very good. Anybody else? Moms and dads, if your children raise their hand, make sure you bring them up, because that's what keeps them from the mess. Amen? Jesus keeps them from the mess. I thank God for her testimony. Do you want to hear a greater testimony? I got saved when I was young. I didn't fall away from God. I've served God all my life, and I've lived in victory. That's the greater testimony. Very few of us have that. But if we raise our kids right, they can live it. Amen? I said amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Right after service, as Pastor Rhonda dismisses, if you raise your hand for salvation or didn't raise your hand for salvation, but you want to give your heart to the Lord, you want to get right with God, I want you to come right on over here and meet with Mindy. If you're online, I want you to dial 97000 and type, I am saved. Someone's going to get right in touch with you. We have a Bible for you. We love you. Thank you for watching. I'm encouraging you to get here. The bride is coming home. It's time to come back to the house. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor Rhonda.
Amen. God has challenged us this morning to change forward. And he wants us to change forward in every area of our lives. Some people have fear of changing forward in their finances. But the word of God, whenever God tells us something, it's because he has good stuff for us. So in Malachi 3, he tells us to bring the whole tithe to his storehouse. And tithe simply means 10%. It's what the word means. But he has a promise with that. He actually tells us to test him in this. Try him out and see if he will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. When we choose to obey and follow the word of God, it moves our money from natural to supernatural. I just heard a testimony last night. I was talking to a friend and they were sharing how they were fighting this battle for over a year for finances to come through, and it just, nothing was moving. Well, they ended up sowing in a service. They're faithful tithers and they sowed a seed in a service, and it was the next day it came through fully. It retro paid back for the entire year, a deposit, without even completing the application process, because they had been told no so many times. That is the blessing of God when our money moves from natural to supernatural. And that's what God enjoys. He enjoys the prosperity of his children. So I can stand up here and say it to you every single week. I don't say it for personal gain. I live this personally, and I want, like God does, for his children to walk in blessing. No matter what the season, no matter what the financial temperature or climate is, we can walk in the blessing and prosperity of God. He actually says, test me in this. Test me in this and see. So some of you, you've never tithed in your life. I challenge you to try God, to test him in this thing and see, because he says he will open up the window of heaven and pour out a blessing. I have never seen anybody regret being a tither. Amen. Anybody in the house regret being a tither? I have never seen anybody regret being a tither. So if you're ready to give this morning, stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. This is simply the word of God. It's the Bible found in Deuteronomy 28. But we know
that when we declare the word of the Lord, it does not return void. It has to perform. So you can expect blessing. You can expect breakthrough. You can expect prosperity. You can expect promotions and raises and jobs. You can expect that. So let's declare the word of the Lord. If I obey, then I am blessed going in. Have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Amen. Go ahead and change forward this week.
Just before we end, I want to pray for the young men of our region. There is an attack on young men, and we're not sure whether it's just somebody being vicious, whether it's the devil, or whether it's drugs, or whether it's alcohol. We don't know what the cause is, but we want them saved, not lost. Amen. So, Father, we stand here in the name of Jesus, and God, we take authority over the devil trying to kill our young men. God, we stand against it in Jesus' name. You've given us authority. The devil's a subject to us in Jesus' name. We speak against the drugs. We speak against the alcohol. We speak against gangs. We speak against these things that would even cause, Lord, turmoil, that, Father, these men may hear the gospel and be saved. For the glory of God.
Yes,
send
hallelujah.
Protection in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Be blessed. Have an awesome week. We love you. You can give as you leave. Oh, by the way, next week we return to normal tithes and offerings.
Something happens when I call your name. 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 Something happens when I call your name.
Something happens.
Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name.